Oh, money, 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 money. It is this weird, crazy thing that we all need to survive, that we were all working so hard to do. But yet for some reason, we ladies have a little bit of a struggle with getting it, keeping it, finding it, making it. In this episode, we're going to talk about it and like why it's important for us to find ways to make money, why you need to keep doing what you're doing, and of course, how you can make some more, because that's what I'm here for, money. Welcome to the Women of YouTube podcast. This podcast is hosted by me, Desiree Martins. Every week, I'm going to be showing up in your earbuds to inspire you on your YouTube journey with killer interviews with women YouTube creators, deep dives into the inner workings of how YouTube works, and discussing all the things about YouTube culture and the impact it is having on our world. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with vidIQ, where they help you maximize your video's YouTube reach by studying titles, descriptions, tags, and playlists relevant to your subject matter, while also studying your competitors to help you know exactly what you should be doing for your YouTube growth. So if you're a female creator looking to grow your channel, level up your content, and learn from the best women creators on the platform to get you on your way to YouTube success and future-proofing your income, this is the perfect place for you. Let's do this. What's up, ladies? Welcome to an episode of the Women Video Podcast. I am so excited to be spending time with you today. If you are new here, what is up? I am so pumped for this conversation. I really think it's going to change what you think, what you feel about this thing we call the creator economy and making money at the same time. If you are not new here, if you've been here before, what's up? I'm so excited I get to spend time with you today. If you have not yet, please, I would love it if you could leave a little review over on Spotify or Apple, because the more reviews you get, the more the platform is happy and shares our content with other creators. If you have gotten anything that's been helpful for you, if you have just loved what we've talked about, if you think Desiree is just kind of weird and you just want to help her out, like that would be super, super helpful, because without those reviews, we can't reach more people. So do the thing. Now, I have a really great conversation with Monique today. We're talking about money, and I think that it's important to know I am a money first creator. I am here to help make you money because that's what I do. I am here to create and make money at the same time. This podcast makes me some money. My YouTube channel makes me lots of money. The agency that the YouTube channel supports makes lots of money. Okay, and you can do this too. And it is possible for you to think about money a different way. And I also want you to think about money beyond like being a creator. Making money as a woman is a whole thing. Right? And what I love about what Monique's mission is to help women build passive income and generational wealth through real estate. And she's doing this by creating content first. Her video podcast focuses on educating women, focuses on talking to women who are doing it and just doing all of the things that need to get done so that everyone is making moolah. Okay, so I think it's really important to make sure that we are diving into that and having this conversation so you know where you stand, why you should be making money, where the pay discrepancies are, where the pay gaps are, all of the things. Women make 59 cents on the dollar for men in the creator economy. I want us to fix that. I want it to be even. I want men to make less than us. No, that's mean. I'm just kidding. But what I really would love is for us to really close that gap and bring it closer and you to get paid what you are worth, because you, my friend, are a possibly amazing human being doing impossibly amazing things. Okay. So let's dive in this conversation with Monique so you can get on your way to making more money. I'm so excited for our chat today, Monique. I think we're going to change some lives. Hope you're ready.
Yes, I'm ready. I'm excited.
All right. So why video?
Why video? Because that's the medium. People like to see you. They like to hear you. And I think it's the best way to reach the most amount of people. And I have a big mission. My mission is to help 1 million women create financial freedom through real estate investing. And huge. I think video is the path.
Okay, so I'm guessing then that the content you create is about real estate investing, so women understand what to do, how to get capital, all that.
It's about real estate investing and mindset too.
I have to say, like, I might have to have an off the podcast conversation because I got questions for myself.
Happy to. Obviously, yeah. I love talking about real estate investing. So, just be
okay.
Warned.
So this is going to spur my question, which is why is real estate investing important? And then why is it important for women to do? Like, why is there those two things? Why are they separate? Like, what is that like?
Why are they separate?
Yeah. So, like, okay. Let's answer the first question. Why is real estate investing important? and
Okay.
necessary?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So, a couple of reasons. So I, just in general, in terms of building wealth and how and helping people to be, my belief in financial freedom and financial success is I think that when people have financial freedom, which I define as having enough passive income that it equals or exceeds your expenses, at that point, when you have your time, when your time and your money are not linked, right? You're not trading your time for money, that gives you freedom. And real estate investing is a way to do that. For millennia, real estate has been the way that wealth has been created and passed down from generation to generation. And for too long, women have not been part of that equation. For too much of our history, women have been property. They have not been allowed to own property. Actually, even well into, gosh, when was it? Into like the 70, I think until 1974, women had to have a man, in a lot of states, a relative had to sign off for women to be able to get a loan, to be
To get a
able
bank account.
to have a bank account, credit cards, and they weren't entitled to do that by themselves. So there's been, women have been locked out of that equation. But when we do get in it, we're actually really wonderful investors when we can get over our fears and get into investing. And we tend to have better results than men on average when we're
Right.
in the game. But a lot of times, a lot of us haven't been taught that this is something that's possible for us. But it is a really great way to build wealth, to create that time freedom. And so that we can, I think once we're not trading our time for money and we're not locked into that, we get to do the things we were born to do. We get to share the gifts that we were born to give to the world. And I think the world needs us more than ever to be able to do that.
So, on the topic of women and investing, why is it important for women to do real estate investment?
Why?
Yeah.
For a lot of those reasons, one, I think to especially so, we often hear about the income gap between men and women, right? So
Oh,
for
yeah.
the same work, right, we tend to get paid less than men. No, but when you're talking about real estate investing, like market rent is market rent. So people are going to be paying their landlord what they're going to pay, and that is one way to get over the gap. But even more, the bigger problem than the income gap, and it is the wealth gap. So for every dollar of net worth, so net worth or wealth is what you own minus what you owe, your assets minus your liabilities. For every dollar of net worth that a man has, a single man has, a single woman only has 32 cents. And it gets even worse when you factor in race, actually. For every dollar of net worth that a single white man has, guess how much a single black or Latina woman has?
18%.
You think it's like 18 cents on the dollar?
Yeah.
It's less than a penny.
Oh my goodness, that's so horrifying.
It's horrifying, but I think real estate is the quickest way to erase that gap. And it is something that you can do, you can get into, often for little to no money if you know the right strategies. And it's a way to financially empower women. And we get disempowered from that, because we get paid less for the same work. We get disempowered if we have to take time off to take care of kids or sick family members, with those types of things fall disproportionately on us. But we live longer, and we tend to lose our crucial earning years, and all of that negatively impacts women. And just the way that the model most of us are taught to, like, just get a job, that's not the path that's going to help us, get to freedom. And many women, they find themselves towards the end of their lives, and they either can't retire, or they're just, they find themselves in a really tough position because we live longer, and most women are not in a position to financially to take care of themselves well.
I'm actually going through this personally with my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is going through some personal hardships, and she lives with us. And she doesn't have a lot. She doesn't have any retirement. She has like savings from an interesting like family-specific situation. And so it's kind of one of those things. It's like, what could she really do at this point at 62 years old, like to really help herself out? And so we're trying to look at it from our perspective, which is like, okay, how do we essentially income-proof ourselves so we can make sure? Because like, y'all know I love you listening, our podcast, YouTube, and social media. This has been my job for 13 years to be a social media manager and a creator. But like, it's always changing. You never know what's going to happen. You never know how people are going to do things or what's going on. And my husband and I have this saying, like, real estate, owning property and land is like the oldest form of wealth in the world. You know, and like, even like, from like, and like, we're obsessed with the show Yellowstone, and like, they're like fight to keep their 100-plus-year-old family farm and things like, how do we do that? Like, how do we have like that kind of a thing? Figuring that out. And the question is always, well, how do you do that? And I think like, how do you get started? How do you figure this out? Everyone assumes all of these things require a lot of money. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people come to you like, I don't have money to do an investment property. I barely had enough money to buy my house. So like, what, how do you help rewrite the limiting financial beliefs that women tend to have around earning and stuff? And I want to make this point also, because I want to piggyback what you said about women traditionally make less. We actually have data now that says, from like the creator economy very specifically, women make 59 cents to every man's dollar in the creator economy. So like, this is just another layer of data that shows the really big financial discrepancies between men and women. So how are you helping to change the mindset and the thought processes around money for women who come to you and are like, I don't know, but I need help?
That's a great question. I actually wrote a guide, which is available for free on my website. My website's REI at REIGoddesses.com, like REI for a real estate investor, goddesses.com. And this guide is called Investing in Real Estate from $1 to $1 Million, Investing Strategies for Every Budget and Every Goddess. And I wrote that for precisely that reason. So a lot of women are like, oh, I'd love to invest in real estate, but I don't have enough money. And so in that guide, I share different strategies. So I share 12 different strategies. So some of them, four of them are, that's it. So four of them are about like very low to no money down strategy. So how can you get investing and starting to make money with little with you know investing in real estate with very little money. And then another common objection or myth that women have is that it's going to take a lot of time. Like they're, oh, I'm going to have to go to all these open houses, and then I have to deal with tenants, and I'm going to get all these calls, you know. So the time issues, and then I share four strategies that are very low time, that are very passive, because we're a lot of us, we're busy, we're taking care of other people, we have, you know, we're working, we're doing all this stuff. And you know, not everybody wants another side hustle. They want to just want their money hustling, not them hustling. So I share four strategies for that. And then I share four strategies that, so a lot of women, they're like, I like this idea, but I don't want to have to deal with tenants. I don't want to have to get calls in the middle of the night. I don't want to have to like ever evict anybody. I don't like that stuff. And then so I share four strategies that don't require you to deal with the three T's: tenants, toilets, termites. You don't have to do that. So there are a lot of different ways of investing with real in real estate for all different types of budgets and strategies and ways of being. And so that like just opening up to so people know, oh my gosh, that's possible, helps you know, helps you to get in the game. So that and then I yeah, so that's a way to do it.
Okay, so I love your three T's, by the way. It makes my heart laugh very much. It's so funny that you said this. So I remember my uncle is my financial planner through like Edward Jones or whatever. And we were having our yearly meeting, and we were having this conversation like, okay, we're wanting to think about going on the journey of like getting investment properties. He actually really discouraged us from doing it because of all of that stuff that you just said. I was like, it's a lot of work. You have the landlord. It takes a long time to get a payout. Like, it's just all of these things, especially right now, because like at the time interest rates were great, but now interest rates are really high, and like everything, like what someone would have paid 10 years ago for property versus what they're paying now for a property. Like, there are all of these reasons like to reconsider. And he was like, you should just get a stock portfolio. Like, a stock portfolio is a little bit easier because we were thinking about it for our children, less for us and more for them. And it was just this interesting sort of like, this is like a totally night and day conversation about money. And I'm sure that usually comes down to perspective and risk. Like, and I love my uncle and he says wonderful things, but he's not like, let's take this gigantic risk kind of a guy, kind of a thing. So I love that you have this alternative information. Look, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but did you know that YouTube is the world's second biggest search engine? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but that's why every creator truly needs to be using vidIQ to grow their YouTube channel. vidIQ's tech helps you tailor your video ideas to match what people are searching for right now on YouTube. And once you're ready to upload, well, it starts optimizing and getting you all the details that you need to make sure your videos are getting noticed. If you really want to dive in more and get started for free, please head over to thewomenofyoutube.com/vidIQ to get started on this YouTube channel changing tool that is going to make things so much easier for you. All right, let's get back to it. What do you learned stops women, even when they're armed with the information? What is it that's stopping them?
The biggest thing is fear. And it is fear. So our, you know, and partly what I do is it's not just how do you invest in real estate, but how do you invest in real estate as a woman? Because women, we're not just smaller, less hairy men. We are, we're chromosomally different. Our brains are wired differently. And those differences affect how we show up to money and investing, different. So for men, money investing feels like a challenge, feels like a game. For women, it feels like a threat. And so it brings up a lot of fear. And money is very tied to power for women. And for, you know, in our like in our genes, in our DNA, for a long time, powerful women were burned at the stake.
Oh my
And
God.
so this is something that is like deep within us. There's a lot of fear that comes up for women about being wealthy, about being powerful, about being visible. I mean, this is a great podcast about women of video, but there's a lot of, there's like, we're not talking about, you know, not even the like money, but there's a lot of fear that comes up from just being visible, right? And like showing up on video and showing up and being like whoever you are. But a lot of that keeps women from getting in the game. So the fear can be the fear about trusting the wrong person, fear about losing money, fear about having a lot of money, you know, fear about and then not knowing who you can trust because you have too much money, or people are gonna come after you, or you're gonna like then people are gonna ask for your money. Like, there's all of this fear that comes up, like having it, not having it, losing it, you know. And so we do a lot of work in our community around befriending our fear and like being able to use it. It will come up, but like, how do you rewire your brain? How do you take action despite the fear? Right. So that's, you know,
I
that's
find
what
that
I'm
it's
talking
just so fascinating what you're saying, because I know for me, when I talk to men about the Women of Video and especially our upcoming conference, the question I get asked is, why does this need to exist? And it's not from like, not usually, I should say, it's not usually from this like aggressive standpoint, like this doesn't exist. Where's the men of, what is men of video? Like, it's not, which people have said to me, like legitimately, but it's very much this conversation of like, it needs to exist because men and women are different. And how the support, the mindset, the conversations that most women need is totally different than the kind of conversation and mindset that men have about stuff. For the most part, men get what they want. Like, men understand commanding a room and like, you know, there's this saying that goes around like, have the confidence of a white man. Like, that's what you kind of got to like kind of dig into to like own your power and what you are. And yes, some people are going to take you out, come across as like bitchy or pushy or aggressive when it's like a man who does the exact same thing. Like, they're considered powerful and tenacious and like they know what they want. And so it's kind of like You just have to keep pushing past that mindset. So like when people tell me like, why does women in video need to exist? It's because you asked that question. It's like women in video need to exist because you don't understand the needs, that they don't understand the uniqueness of being a woman, whether not just from like a maternal standpoint, but being a mother is a huge part of it. And that whole like chemical rewiring that happens when you have kids, but also the like women our whole lives, especially like right now, like where I think like the post 25, everyone, we all have been taught something that I remember growing up, my dad telling me to sit there, look pretty, kind of a thing, and not like not meaning to be mean, but it's just part of the coding of stuff. And so we have to take back our power. We have to know our power. And I think that having support and having another woman that kind of helps you through that, gives you the right roadmaps for it, is so important, which is why coaches are so necessary. It's why listening every week is so necessary. We talk to all these really amazing women who are doing all these really amazing different things that kind of is lost for everyone to know, like, no matter what you're interested in, no matter what you want to talk about, what you need, you can do this and you can build a business from it. And now you're going to inspire other women to do it too.
I love that. But there, you made this very interesting point about like feeling like you have to show up like a white man in order to be successful. Because women actually don't do as well when they feel like they have to show up as men, but that's what we're taught, right? So the masculine way of showing up, you know, so there's like the masculine way we're taught, like no pain, no gain, right? You got to man up, you got to muscle through, you got to like
no tears, don't cry. There's no crying in baseball.
Yeah, you got to, and you have to, and it's competitive, and it's dog eat dog, and it's like, you know, like yeah, I'm gonna get the sheep. Like that's how we're like that's a very masculine paradigm, and when women show up in that way, it is not pretty. It's not pretty, like, from somebody on like on the outside, but also feels not pretty inside. Like this is what like leads to an epidemic in women of rage and grief and depression and having to like you know, have wine therapy like and drink or shop or whatever to deal with it, because that type of showing up fries us. So like I talk about, it's like a goddess secret sauce to investing, but I think it applies generally for women. And so whereas men, like the masculine paradigm is the like man up, muscle through, like push, like no pain, no, like push through the pain kind of thing. For women, that will fry us. So it's, we need to not muscle through, we need to pleasure through. It is not pain that is the path for us. It is pleasure that is the path for women, and which is so different from what we're taught. We're taught like pleasure is wrong. We need to put everybody else's pleasures needs before our own, not us. But it's actually the opposite. There's like a path of pleasure that is and that feels good. So when I find myself feeling stuck, it's not muscle. I was like, ooh, I need a pleasure break. And then things open up. And but it's pleasure is the path. Also, you know, we're taught to like, you know, there's like a fetishism of logic, but there's a, you know, women's intuition is a real thing. So we have these connections in our brains that men do not. There are these connections between our right and left hemispheres of the brain. And that does make us more intuitive. Everybody has intuitive capabilities. Women, but there is a real thing with women's intuition, but we're often not taught to trust our intuition, to listen to it. And, but it is, I think, like our life GPS. It knows the best way to go from where you are to where you want to be. It knows that 5 miles up the road, there's some traffic jams that's going to take. So that's why it takes you down these like crazy alleys. You're like, why am I driving down this way? But it knows things that we can't see on a conscious, we don't so know on a conscious level. And like logically, these things, what it's telling us may not make sense, but trusting that, okay, even though it doesn't make logical sense, there's a knowing that there's something that's bigger than deeper that knows what to do, and being able to trust that's part of the feminine. There's also, you know, there's a lot of the mindset piece, right? Getting past our fears, getting over that, having beliefs, you know, like really implanting beliefs that will empower us to move forward, that we have to rewire a lot of the thoughts that we've been taught, like you have to sit there and look pretty, money is not for women, don't worry about that, you're going to just, you know, like the whole Cinderella, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, like kind of the Disney princess, like all you have to be like be unconscious, like a Prince Charming is going to come, he's going to kiss you, and you're going to live happily ever after, he's going to take care of you, and all will be well. Like we have to sort of like rewire all of that stuff, have a knowing that we can be our own princes, we can have our own queendom, and that everybody's better off when we do. And then the last thing is sisterhood. So we really are wired to be in community with other women, and we're wired for community. So the stress, you know, they say typically when people are stressed, it's like fight, flight, or freeze. But that's actually a man's response to stress. And there was some scientists at UCLA that did a study, and they realized, yeah, that's actually how men respond. Women tend and befriend. That's how we best deal with stress, by tending to our young ones, tending to each other, befriending, being around groups of other women. That hormone oxytocin, the bonding hormone we get when we are breastfeeding, we get when we are making love, and we feel it, we get dumped with oxytocin when we are just around groups of other women. We are hardwired for sisterhood. We think we learn better. It calms us down. We have better results when we're in sisterhood. So those four pieces are part of that goddess sister sauce, the goddess secret sauce, the pleasure, intuition, mindset, and sisterhood. And those are things that are different than how men show up energetically, or like best show up. And when we try to show up as men, it doesn't work well. But when we show up in our feminine, powerful feminine, we are unstoppable.
I don't disagree with you. Another reason why I'm so excited about our conference that we're doing in March is because of this exact thing. When women come together, like, we are designed for the tribe, for the togetherness, the learning from each other and doing things. That's why I think that motherhood is so unnecessarily hard right now, like societally, because we're trying to do everything ourselves. Yeah. Like there's not the village, there's not the tribe. Like no one's asking me to watch their kids so they can go on a date with their friends. No one's asking me for help with something. Like there's just somewhere along the way over the past decade, or, you know, COVID and all this kind of stuff, we just stopped asking for help. And it makes me crazy because I need help. I had to hire help to get help rather than being able to like count on like a local friend or, you know, a family that like we're friends with, and they could count on me and I could count on them. Cause now if like I ask for something, it feels like I'm like as this bad person, because I'm like, well, I just need help. Like this is what a village is supposed to be. Like it's not supposed to be. So when we moved to our neighborhood that we live in, we've lived here about a year, whenever we meet people with kids and they put them like, please just come over. Like it's my goal to bring back 1990s parenting where someone just knocks on the door, asks to play, and then we've got them. I just text you that they're here or whatever that may be. They're like, that sounds amazing. I'm like, I know, we can do this. I promise. Like we're going to be that neighborhood. So it's just one of those things, like we need each other. And it's why I love, doing this podcast is my favorite thing, because I get to get my creator need met. My extrovert is happy. So many things are accomplished from this, on top of helping other women with what they're doing, because they get to connect and be there. And so it's just really important to me. And I'm so glad that you are helping women in a totally different area that is super necessary. And like, you get it. She gets it, guys. She gets it.
Thank you. And I love what you're doing. Because you're right. We're not meant to be alone. And so things like your conference and this podcast, and just like, hey ladies, you're not by yourself. You're not alone.
Like, no, never.
And you're not meant to be alone. Get that.
Do the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about money. We talked a lot about how you're helping women and why women need each other. Now I would like to talk about your creator journey. So you create videos. Where do you create videos, like, first and foremost? Like, what's your platform of choice?
What's my platform of choice? So I actually create, so a lot of what I do is in my podcast. So I have the Real Estate Investor Gossip podcast, which I do on Zoom, and then it goes on YouTube, and then so like I do some, so mostly it's on YouTube. I do some TikTok, I do some like Instagram reels, but most of it is on YouTube.
Okay, so you have a video podcast that you use with YouTube, and I know that you also create things like for Reels and TikTok, and like you'll put them there because it's because I know because I've got our accounts up while we're talking, and so she's creating all stuff. How do you? So a lot of us as YouTube creators, it's very like title first, keyword first. You're creating podcast interview first. So what is your creation style like? What does your process look like?
For the podcast.
Yes.
All right. So I will be honest. I have a company that will do, so I do the podcast and then they create, they look at the SEO and all that stuff. And so they do the title and then they edit it and they post it up and they do all that stuff. I just show up for the interview. And then all that other stuff I don't think about because I don't know much about, you know, it's like I there's this great book called The Big Leap. And one of the main takeaways I got from it's by this guy called Gay Hendricks. And one of the main takeaways I got from that is it's like do the things that are in your zone of genius and then work with others that are in theirs. So my zone of genius is not figuring out SEOs and titles and how to do all that editing things and that takes a lot of time and a lot of brain power for me and makes me want to like bash my head in a little bit. So, but I love the talking to people and I love the interviews and I like that I think is in my zone of genius. So I just show up and I do that part and then I have team that goes off and does the rest. So my assistant like takes the recordings and uploads it, and then that team like edits and does show notes and they do, you know, they do all the things and they syndicate it out and they put it up on and they create graphics and then I have somebody else who does like takes little like does 1 minute chunks of the podcast and puts it on Instagram and you know, so I don't do that. I have team for that. No.
Okay, for I do not want you to feel bad about this at all.
Yeah.
Your girl has the team. Like, and I don't have like for the podcast and for the YouTube channel. I love that you have a team. I love that you said like you should do the things that you like to do and that you're doing. And I'm sure that I can hear the thoughts of those that are listening, like, well, yeah, she can pay to have someone do it. She's a real estate investor. So of course she can get it done. And I know that like that's not like an oversimplification for sure. But in order for me, and I've said this before, and if it's your first time listening, like now you know, in order for me to have a YouTube channel back in August of 2017, when I launched this my bad boy, I had to have an editor. Because for me, it wasn't about not being able to do it. I can edit. I went to college for this. It's I don't have time. At the time, I had a 3-year-old and an 18-month-old that was still breastfeeding. We had just moved to a foreign country. I was able to like work our budget and accordingly so that I could put them into like full-time daycare school, which was super insanely cheap in Korea. And I had this specific window of time to get my work done. And then I would, and part of my work was recording videos. If I had to also edit and do the other pieces, I wouldn't have been able to keep up with it. I wouldn't be able to have the consistency I wanted and needed. And then I also had other obligations beyond work. Like I had an obligation to my military spouse community that I had signed up for and all this kind of stuff. So, and I still to this day, I have an editing company. In fact, I have an email with another editing company just to do short video, right? So it's just kind of one of these things that's like, as you grow and as you have things that you need to do to accomplish certain milestones, you have to make that financial investment, knowing like having your goals in place, making sure you're making them measurable and that you're getting the return on investment so that it eventually covers itself. It took me about a year and a half till it fully covered itself, but I looked at it the same way like, well, I spend money on advertising, I spend money on other companies give me money to do their social media for them because they don't want to do it. I go to conferences, I join networking groups, I do these things. So, or like even with like a more relatable thing with network marketing, women have to pay to join like a network marketing program to do it. So it's like, why wouldn't I pay to invest in something I want to do that I know can work for me and be effective, especially not right now, but definitely like in a year or 2 years, and now I'm in 5 years, and my YouTube channel is my number one lead source for my agency, and I make a passive income of almost $10,000 from my YouTube channel, right? So it's kind of one of those things that's like you have to think fourth dimensionally and think past it. So tapping into your zone of genius, I think, is super important.
You
Like
don't
hands
have,
down, no arguments for me or from Monique, I'm sure.
no, they're like, there are four zones, right? There's your zone of incompetence. Those are things you don't know how to do.
Exactly.
And so a lot of that's like SEO and all that. Like, that's my zone of incompetence. I have no idea how to do any of that stuff. And I could have taken time to learn it, but it's like, why? Like, is that really, it's like your zone of incompetence. I'm incompetent in a lot of that stuff. Zone of competence is like, I could do it, but somebody else could do it much more easily than me, and it's like it's definitely not my zone of genius. Sure, I can probably figure out the editing. Sure, I could, like, I could be competent at some of this stuff, doing show notes and all that stuff, but not a good use of my time. There's your zone of excellence, which is tricky because that's where you do a lot of your you're really great at, and it can be, and like people love you being in your zone of excellence. But the difference between your zone of excellence and your zone of genius is that's the thing which you do where it's like time stands still. That's when you're in flow. That's when you're like, that's your like you at your most super, like
That's my jam.
that's your
Yeah.
flow time, right? And that's where magic happens. The more of your life you can spend in that zone, the more magical your life feels. And so the trick is to spend as little time as possible in the other three, but especially in your zones of incompetence and competence. So unless you like love editing or you love figuring out SEO, and some people do, God bless them. Like that's who I hire, right? Like that's why, like, I want them working for me and doing this because they love it and that's their thing. Not mine, not a good use of my time. I do much better like putting time into investing in real estate or teaching and having and doing my mission of helping women create passive income or create financial freedom through real estate investing.
And I think that that is just having that breakdown is so important because you could apply that to so many things.
Yeah, it's for
Like the
everything.
things that you kind of have to do. Like I know for me, some of the things that I ask myself all the time, is this below my pay grade? And I know that that's a little arrogant of me, but it's still one of those things. I'm like, if I have to do this, how much money am I going to lose? If I have to do this, or I have to pay out for this, like what is the price difference? So paying my editor and like my editing package, I think I have is like, it's like 3 hours a day for videos. I do 2 a week for them to edit. I'm like 3 hours a day at my monthly rate. Like before we even hit the middle of the second day, it's past my hour rate compared to like what they charge. I'm like, nope, I'm good. This is like totally worth it for me. There are some things in my life I wish I could do more of that. Like I want to like farm out like my housework. All these kinds of
I
things that
do.
you're getting
That's
that
the
I
best
know
money I've spent all week. I spent $140 a week to have my cleaner come. She cleans my house. She does my laundry. It is worth every penny.
For me, I'm very fortunate. My mother-in-law lives with me, and that's what she does. She's like, I need to pull my weight. I'm like, are you aware how much money you save this family? And time and heartache and stress because you keep the kitchen clean and everyone always has clean laundry. Like I cannot like it's like she doesn't get it. She's like, well, that's what moms are supposed to do. Like, yeah, they're
Not this
supposed
mom.
to. You're, well, I'm a mom. I'm supposed to go make money. I don't want
Yeah. I am
So
not
like
the
that,
mom
yeah.
that keeps the house clean and does
Yeah,
the
I'm like,
laundry and all that stuff. No.
I hate when she goes and spends her time with my sister-in-law because I'm not giving that anymore. So it's just one of those things that's like so funny for me. Like, I know for us, like, we hired an au pair as well. Like, we have live-in help for our kids because my husband's PTSD. And so it comes with like inconsistencies in care. And so, like, when I'm traveling and I'm gone, I need to know that my kids are woken up and getting to school and that lunches are made, the little details that go into it, like homework. Money for stuff, signed papers, answering emails for about stuff, which I do, and I just forward the directions, making sure appointments are set. Like these little and like getting to the things, like the activities, like, oh my gosh, the amount of time wasted by mothers and parents in general waiting for soccer practice and dance is astronomical. Right. And like I would much rather just work and let my person take care of that. And then my husband is able to like stress-free, argument-free, all the things like take care of like getting dinner ready and getting ready for like the end of the day stuff, right? So it's just one of those things that's like you don't think about it until like you're presented with a solution that you can handle and manage. And that's what I think the biggest lesson to take out of this conversation, that this part of the conversation Monique and I are having, which is like just you don't have to do everything and you shouldn't. More importantly, you shouldn't do
You
everything.
shouldn't do everything.
You should
You
know.
can't do
Stop
everything.
thinking. Stop thinking you need to and have to. Don't let Pinterest and social media fool you. Behind every clean home is the behind the camera where everyone is on fire. Okay, so don't
Or
blink for a
some
second.
people, it is their zone of genius. They have the beautiful home. They're good at that stuff. That's not me. I'm
Everyone
not.
is bad at something. Okay,
Yeah.
everyone is bad at something.
And
Okay,
everyone
don't.
is genius at something.
Everyone is,
So find
yes.
your genius and live there.
Yes, and don't worry about the things you can't do, for sure.
Make
Yeah.
and sell your merch with Spreadshop. Always free, always awesome. Why are we so awesome, you might ask? Simply sign up, upload your designs, lay out your products and shop, and we'll print and ship your order on demand anywhere in the world. We back our service with a 1000% satisfaction guarantee. You can make and sell shirts, hoodies, hats, mugs, totes, and even stickers. Get started today at spreadshop.com. Always free and always
Yeah.
awesome.
Okay. So, what do you think? Like, how do I word this? How would you advise women in this who are listening and that are interested in what we're doing in the creator economy and stuff? What advice do you have to them on their journey as they get started or while they're creating so they can like keep going, keep finding success and just keep showing up in what their genius is?
Yeah. I think they're like the biggest piece of advice they're doing right now, like being on, listening to podcasts like yours and are watching things like this, because again, it's part of the you don't have to do it alone and you shouldn't do it alone. And a smart, what did I say? A smart person learns from their mistake. A genius learns from other people's mistakes. So piggyback off of other people's learnings, right? Go to conferences, like the one that's happening in March, and learn from people that are super successful doing what you want to do, and piggyback off of what they're doing. So don't try to figure it all out by yourself. Don't try to, and a little bit of investment to learn this stuff will save you so much time, energy, effort. Like don't be penny wise, pound foolish, right? Don't like waste your time, which is your most valuable resource, when you could invest a little bit of money to like just take you that much further. So yeah, I'm always about like who can is the I'm reading this book now, and it's called Who Not How. So don't
Okay.
think about how to do something. Think about who can help you do something. Like, you whatever your goal is, like who are the who do you, who can help you get to that level, to that next level, to where you want to go? Or who do you know that might know the person that can get you to there? So figure out the who's and connect and learn from them. Like, don't do it alone.
I think the importance of going to events is like massive. I was just in LA for Adobe Max, and I was excited to be there because I was there with Adobe Express. Adobe is one of our sponsors as well for the Women in Video Conference. And like, we're just learning about their tool and what they're doing, and like really just like drilling into them, like video, video, video. Hey, video, did I mention we need more video with this tool? Because graphics are great, but people don't engage with graphics in the same way that they engage with video. So let's get more video, less graphic updates. And I wasn't the only one in the room saying that, which also made me feel really good inside, because it's always always one thing to say something. It's another thing to be reinforced, right? But it was so great to network, because you have to think, like, Adobe as a brand, like, it's a massive thing. So many people use it. Like, I made, like, I became like besties with this girl who oversees like the display design at Target. I met the people that like are handling and doing stuff with the GM. I like, you know, Dell, Logitech, all of these brands that are doing, they all need design work. They're all using the same tools that we are and trying to get seen and accomplish the same things that we are. And like, you can talk to them and you can learn from them and you can network with them. And then you can hopefully work with them or maintain a relationship with them so that you can have friendships that allow for you to also grow and build your business as well. Like, the like Vid Summit, another great one. I met our sponsor for our podcast with Spreadshop. I built my relationship with DJ at Vid Summit. Like, that's where it started. And he likes my mission and what we're doing. And so he wanted to join again. Now, so not only does Spreadshop sponsor the podcast, they also are being a sponsor for the conference. And they truly believe in what we're doing. So it's just all these layers. Like, and I think that's so probably contradictory to what we do here, because it's like women in video. I can do everything from my car or my basement without any problems. And that is true. But you would be so surprised at like where and what you can do, learn, grow, all the things at a conference. And this isn't just me like trying to like guilt you into buying tickets to Women of Video. This is like find something locally even that you can go to and learn from others and just network and talk about business and stuff. Because if you're a mom, especially, or if you're a woman who's in this creating and this very specific little bubble, they don't understand being a creator. When I tell people, oh, I'm a content creator, they look at me like I have five heads, because I live in a rural working class community where the vast majority of people either work for GM down the street, or they work in like construction and things that are very hands-on. They're like, wait, you make money doing that? Which is then always followed by the conversation, well, what does your husband do? And then I always have to have the conversation with like, my husband's a stay-at-home dad. So then it comes back to, wait a second. You provide for your family as a creator, like on YouTube? And so it's like, when you can find other people that kind of get what it's like to be an entrepreneur or be a creator, it just makes you feel like you don't have five heads, and you can also learn and grow from them.
Yeah. So, that's like the other thing. It's like when you go to the conference and you find your people, people that understand you and they're like, they think like you, it's just so, it's like, oh, okay, this is great. Yes. You're like, yeah, you get me. And so that feels really good too, to just understand, like to find people who understand, who are on the path, either who can be, you know, your confidant or your, or somebody commiserate, it can be your cheerleaders, and they can also be way showers. Be like, okay, how do I get to where you are?
I love that. Okay, so last thing, what piece of advice, what like inspiring statement, what statement or words can you say that we're going to turn into a short to share on social media?
What can you give pressure.
To inspire other women to keep going in this thing that we call the creator economy?
Oh my gosh. The world needs your voice, right? They need your voice. And even though you think maybe you're saying something that somebody else is saying, there are different people are going to hear it because it's from you. You're not, I know when I got into real estate and I didn't know about real estate investing, when I was ready, I heard from this mentor and he gave me these like nuggets that completely changed my paradigm. And I heard it for the first time. I hadn't, you know, other people had tried to tell me this before and I didn't hear it until I was ready. And then until I heard it from that person. And I get the same thing. People tell me, it's like, yeah, I'd heard when I saw you talking about real estate investing, and I thought, it's this woman, and she's Black, and she's, you know, woman of color. And they were able to see a possibility because it came from me that they couldn't have seen anywhere else. And you too have that message that only you can share, because it's your story and it's your voice. So keep going, because the world needs you to use your voice. And there's somebody out there. There's probably many, many people out there whose lives are going to change, and they're waiting to see that content that you're creating in order for their lives to change, in order for them to get on their path. So so keep going.
Yes, I love it. Thank you so much for your time. We will have links to her website, her channels, and of course her book if you're interested in getting started with real estate investing over on our show notes at womenofvideo.com. Remember, Monique, you and everyone who is listening are impossibly amazing. Until next week, see you later.
Thank you for listening to the Women of YouTube podcast. We would love to know what you thought about this latest episode. So make sure to tag us with hashtag Women of YouTube with your thoughts.